Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Welcome back to hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Maxa in the Mighty 1090 studios with Mr. Bill Varnay, surf fishing expert, and having fun talking a subject we don't spend a lot of time on except when Gundy calls on Sunday. Gives us all those hot tips on the surf fishing. But surf fishing, which is the free access to anybody. All you need is a fishing license, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and a rod and reel and
an hour or two of spare time. That's all you need.
Yeah.
What a stress reliever in life it is when you're done with work, busy day, whatever, before you, you know, go just to cruise down to the surf and spend an hour, make a few casts, catch a couple fish. I mean, you sleep so much better at night after you got a quick little session in there. Pretty darn cool. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm having a blast and lots of great information and such a cool show. And we would love to have you be a part of it. Another full hour of your phone calls and great information. If you want to participate, you want to talk to Bill, 858-457-1090. That's the local number. Or toll free at 877-792-1090. Both opportunities, get through and talk to Mr. Bill Varnay. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, what a cool prize for one lucky caller. A brand new Bill Varnay custom surf fishing series rods. Thanks to the guys up at Cousins Tackle, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, just a fantastic rod, very high-end components, an awesome, awesome rod.
Made
for one
specifically for surf fishing and designed
just
by
for
you
surf fishing.
And your buddies.
That's right.
That's right.
Me and my buddies.
All right.
Very cool. Well, as you can hear, we've got an awesome show going on, and as promised, it's time to find out what's biting. It is time for the Catch Report, which is today sponsored in part by the Sato Crimp and Winder Company, where they only make products that work. If you want to end connection failures, you need the Sato Crimp Kit. It's a must-have piece of gear for your next trip to help you catch everything from the school-sized tuna to record-sized tuna. With all brass crimps and other features, it's better than ever. The favorite connection method on the Royal Star, the Royal Polaris, American Angler, and most of the other top boats. And if you haven't already, you should make your preferred connection for Spectra to Mono or Fluorocarbon. You can get it at selected tackle stores like the Longfin, Fisherman's Landing Tackle, or at SatoCrimpAndWinder.com.
All right, let's go ahead and start with our private motor buddy and the FishDope.com report. Captain Mark Wish from Pacific Edge. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Bill. Hey, great show, man. I love listening to all this surf stuff. It's right in my backyard.
Yeah you're
Thank
right
you
there
so
in
much.
The core.
In the zone.
We are right there. But, hey, listen to this, guys. It's almost middle of January, and we are still blessed with these incredible conditions. So earlier this week, I was at the Big Rock Tackle Show in Vegas, so I felt kind of out of touch a little bit when I got home. Jumped on a computer, looking at terrafin there, checking out some temperatures and clarity. It's just crazy good on the outside. 66 degrees southwest of the dumping grounds, 64 on the worm, 63.8 on the 60-mile bank, 63.5 on the Cortez. That bodes very well for our upcoming season, which really hasn't even hardly left us here. But I actually had one of our customers was on the Cortez Tuesday. They verified that temp mid-63s there, incredible clarity on the bank. You could see the bottom at 70 feet of water. Lots of life on the bank. They hooked some yellows and tuna, and unfortunately, also on the bank is a hideous amount of seals. The seals got everything they hooked. They were the only boat there, and those seals just mounted up on them and just destroyed them. But looking good, lots of life there. There's also, surprisingly, still a few marlin around, mostly in that little bit of warmer water that's around Clemente there. So, very interesting conditions for January. Closer to home, also a lot of interesting stuff going on. You got a really good shot at those bigger yellows in several different areas. Santa Monica Bay there, the best sector has been the deep wedges up northwest of Rocky Point, 30 to 40 fathoms. On the 150 out in front of Long Beach, very consistent there, several options. There's still a good amount of fish both on the hard bottoms of the 150 proper, and there's a little bit more bait in the area, and the fish are shadowing the bait ball. So you can just drive around, run your meter, mark a bait ball. If it's got some of them bigger marks around it, it bombs away with the yo-yo jigs. Those fish are biting the jigs pretty good. And also in that zone, inside the 150, there's another area called the 105, kind of east of the east end of the horseshoe there, or southeast of the east end there. And that area for many years has been kind of one of our secret weapons at this time of year for fishing sea bass. There's been some sea bass on that 105. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. And the other zone biting on that big yellow has been that San Clemente Pier to Box Canyon zone. Yes, bit pretty good yesterday on that good grade of yellows there. So collectively, we got more squid showing at Catalina. We got dabs of squid out there on the 150. There's been some squid right there in Newport Canyon. There's been a little bit of bait starting to show up down there in that San Onofre zone. That's good. Now we got red crab showing up all over the place. And, Bill, just so you don't top me with your yellowfin tuna story, one of my customers that came into the store yesterday was telling me about a friend of his, a diver off of Palos Verdes, that speared a pargo. And I go, oh, come on. And he goes, no, no. So he sent me the picture and the link to the story. This guy got a full-on dog tooth regulation grade real deal pargo right off Palos Verdes there, like a 20-pounder. Got some beautiful.
Oh, oh my
God. How cool is that?
That's bizarre.
Can you believe that? I mean, you don't see, I've never heard of one of those big ones being up here before. So
you know, and Ricky looked up on the web. It was actually a bluefin tuna that this pretty lady caught, right?
That's right, bluefin.
It's such a cool story, and you nailed it in her Sunday church clothes. I mean, it's such a crack-up. Really cool.
And Mark, can you imagine what you can't see that's out there?
Oh, that's the best part. That's the that speculation, man. It's, you know, the setup with the way the water is and the weather patterns. And look at that weather we had the last couple of days with that tropical stuff almost coming up from Mexico like that.
Bizarre.
Never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, when's the last time we had a report on January 10th of, you know, bluefin on the banks and marlin around Clemente and all the other crazy offshore stuff that's going on right now?
And the water is still 66 in some places.
The trip, and I know there's boats out there fishing as of this morning. You know, I mean, guys still going tuna fishing. I think the Tribute was sold out you know, out there on the bank right now.
Yeah, I know Pacific Queen went sold out last night on a day and a half calling that
trip. Yeah, they creamed on their last trip. There's some really good fishing going on.
And beautiful weather, too.
Beautiful thing.
And in the meantime, you got to stay in touch with everything going on out there if you like to fish year-round like we do, and that is on fishdope.com, right, Mark? Mark reports. I know Dave reports. A lot of people keep everything up to date. And what's going on out there? Danny has his finger on the pulse, and you can save $20 on a new membership right now using the code New Year. One word, lowercase, New Year on fishdope.com, and get your subscription for a full year. You buy it today, it's good till today next year. So fishdope.com, $20 off using the code New Year. One word, lowercase. And how do we find you, Mark?
Hey, we're on a corner of Bolsa Chicken Ediger and Huntington Beach. The phone number is 714-840-4262. The web, PacificEdgeTackle.com. And I don't think I'm ever going to get to report about rockfish or
perch.
Whatever. That's all right by me.
I'm all good with it.
Yeah, Sculpin, you get the Sculpin report right now?
Yeah. Hey, Mark, I know you have a lot of secrets on that surf stuff, so come on. You got to give some of that stuff out.
Oh, well, you know, let's see. What would be a secret? How to shuck a mussel. That's probably the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't just smash it with a rock and put the goop on the hook?
You know, I had a surf expert fishing with me 30 years ago, and we were fishing perch up inside the breakwater in the winter, fishing perch, and I had some mussels I pulled off the dock, and I laid it on my little cutting board, and I took the knife, and I cut the thing right in half and started scooping some up to try to get on my hook. And George looked at me and said, what in the heck are you doing? Don't you know how to shuck a mussel? I go, well, actually, I don't. So he showed me. And, you know, once you learn a trick on how you get the whole gloppy thing out of both halves of the shell at the same time, then you got a nice place to put your hook that you can actually cast a glop of mussel and have it stay on there. It's pretty amazing when you learn how to do it.
So stop by Pacific Edge. You'll teach them.
We'll teach them, yeah.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Yeah, you got it. We'll see you.
Let's head on down to San Diego now, over to C4 Sport Fishing. Talk to our good buddy, Marcos. Marcos, what's going on at C4?
Well, we're having some nice weather and definitely some nice fishing mixed in there. Said we are dealing with those closures, so a little bit sparser on the numbers of fish, but there's definitely some good fishing in there. The new C4's been going out, looking for bonito, some bass mix in there. They had some yellowtail earlier in the week. I mean, actually, yesterday afternoon, they had 46 bonito for 18 anglers and a handful of calico bass, some sculpin. Pretty good fishing on there, and we're still running those trips daily. The three-quarter-day trip, San Diego is still fishing. They're still catching fish. And as a result, Ryan has extended those trips out a bit longer. And like I said, as long as people keep coming down and there's still fish to catch, he's going to keep running those trips. Yesterday, 22 anglers had 70 yellowtail, 33 bonita, and I think 26 rockfish, one halibut on there. And, I mean, we were just talking to one of the deckhands there, and he said that they started running trips last year on the 19th of January, and right now they're scheduled to the 18th. It's been almost a year straight of that boat running and catching fish. It's been a spectacular year for them, and they're still going. The tribute fishing offshore last weekend had a nice load there. 9 anglers went out, caught 24 bluefin, 6 skipjack, 33 yellowtail, 16 bonito. He's back out there today fishing, and hopefully we'll see some more of that right now, or at least for today, excuse me. He did fish offshore, look around, see if that's still there. If there's still fish there, he may very well do that next weekend. So lots of options. Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Full schedule's up there for the half day, the three-quarter day, the day and a half trips. If you want to go whale watching, see those gray whales, we're running trips for those also, and they're seeing very good gray whale watching right now also. So lots of options. We've got some beautiful weather right now. Definitely check the website. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383.
Man, it's just crazy, Mark. Just like we were saying before, the fact that here we are in January, pardon me, talking about bluefin on the Tribute and yellows on the San Diego, and what a great score. 70 yellows for those guys on three-quarter-day fishing, and it's going to go...
What date is today? January 10th? And you said that Booger didn't even start last year until January 18th.
And he's run straight through.
Straight through. I mean,
it's still last season.
Unbelievable.
An entire year of nonstop yellows on the San Diego. So cool. Marco, certainly great fishing going on. And again, we got, you know, great opportunities coming, you know, once we get through this little front. We got great weather coming our way. Again, still going to be good fishing. If somebody wants to join you, Seaforth, whether it be offshore bluefin or getting on that half-day trip, how do we find you?
Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. You can make reservations up there. You can call the office, 619-224-3383. We'll be more than happy to make the reservations for you and get you out there fishing.
Awesome, Marcos. Great fishing, as always. Appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Marcos. Okay, special guy on the line, Captain Buzz Brisenay. Good morning, Buzz.
Good morning, Pete and Rick. How you guys doing?
Great. How's the boat work on the Prowler going?
Oh, you saw us hard at it yesterday, didn't you?
You're working hard. Yeah, you're working. Man, there's Buzz, who's the owner of the boat, one of the legends in the business. He's out there stripping varnish, right?
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, I think with all of this good weather and the high pressure and all the yellows that are up and down the coast, I think it's going to be an early season unless something really drastic happens, so we want to be ready.
Yeah, there
That's
you go.
Cool, Buzz.
Good call. So the reason Buzz is calling this morning is because of a photo on our website, hookup1090.com, and thanks to Jack Nielsen from Accurate for sending that photo in. And it's a picture of Del Marsh and Buzz. And you'll notice on this that Buzz is a little young. How old are you in that picture, Buzz?
You know, that was 78-ish.
1978.
Wow. That's cool. That's cool.
It's pretty cool. But, you know, like so many things with Dell, there's a story that goes with it. And I just thought that you guys would enjoy it.
Absolutely.
You know, that fish would be a bucket fish for anybody anywhere around the world. It was a 128-pound amberjack.
Oh, gosh.
But we weren't even fishing remotely. It was the last thing in our mind. We were coming home from what had been a mediocre trip to the Revilla Hijitos and stopped at Leo's Rocks on the way home, and we're sitting out on the edge catching some of those brown grouper and whatnot. And Dell's fishing, I would assume, with a dropper loop, drops it down and gets a bite and starts to wind it up, and this thing is pulling like crazy. And, you know, it's like, gosh, what is it? You know, it's speculation, and finally comes to color, and it was belly up, just the belly was showing, so it's not a lot of ID there. And it gets to the top, and we saw it was an amberjack, and we couldn't believe it.
Unreal.
And this was, you were running second ticket aboard the Qualifier 105 back then, right?
That's correct, yeah. Don was running the boat, and I was the second. And, in fact, Johnny Grabowski was part of that crew. So
unbelievable.
We were all fishing together.
And look what a stud Dell was back then, man.
That's such a rad photo,
with that
man.
Big handlebar mustache.
That's such a rad photo.
Man, like Dell remained a stud till the day he died, for sure.
Absolutely. But I thought that story was just something. Here's, you know, a bucket list fish anywhere around the world, and Dell just kind of goes, ho-hum, yeah.
Yeah,
there it is. How many places you said 120-plus pounds. How many places that, you know, frequent amberjack would just kill to have a fish like that? I mean, that's total bucket list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's lots of pictures of Del Marsh like that.
Exactly.
You know.
Grander marlin.
Yeah. You know, 40-pound sea bass off the beach in New Mexico. Right. He went to New Zealand with Jack and Tom Ward from the Longfin and caught like a near-record-sized trout even.
Right.
You know, it's like just the luck of Del, right, Buzz?
Had the touch.
That's exactly right.
It's that's amazing. Cool. Well, good story,
that's
Buzz.
Great,
and,
Buzz.
Yeah, that's a really cool. You still have those overalls there? You still have that those
set of skins?
Set of skins.
You know, I think I've gone through a few pairs of skins.
That's cool. Well, thanks for sharing that story, and
that's
good luck.
Classic.
Good luck with the boat. But when do you think you're going to be ready to go fishing?
Target date is March 1.
Wow.
Oh, right on,
all
Buzz.
Right.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Buzz.
Guys.
Appreciate the story this morning.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our catch report there. How cool is that, man? There's
yeah.
some seriously
great
good
story.
Fishing going
yeah.
on right now. Let's jump right back into the phones. They're packed up. We're going to talk to Gabe, who's calling us from Ramona this morning. Gabe, very busy morning. We really appreciate you hanging in there with us.
Thanks for calling, Gabe.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. You're putting together a great show today. I feel like I've been to Surf Fishing School 101.
Yeah.
It's just been awesome information, and you covered basically all my questions. The only thing that I might ask is size of hooks that you might be using to target, you know, any particular type of fish.
That's a good question.
That is a very good question, and you know, that is probably the most important component other than your rod and reel, and I guess maybe your license is the biggest component, but hooks are very, very important. I get a lot of calls and a lot of emails from folks who say, look, I get lots of bites at the beach, but I don't seem to catch anything. I can't seem to hook any fish, and it's all because of the hook that you use. Hooks are very, very important in the surf, that they are thin wire and very, very sharp. If you're going to use a bait hook like you'd use for a sardine or an anchovy, way too big. You're going to have to get a much thinner hook. So probably my favorite hooks to use in the surf, if I'm using a grub or a natural bait, would be a Gamagatsu split shot / drop shot hook.
Oh,
I'm going to
okay.
use those in size 1, 2, and 4.
Wow.
Not going to really go smaller than 4 and certainly wouldn't need to be bigger than a 1. Those are very, very sharp. The Owner Mosquito hook is a very good hook. And then Mustad makes an Ultra Point hook that is a very good hook. You're going to look for a hook that is a straight J shape. You don't want an offset tip of the hook from the eye of the hook. If you use an offset hook, many times your bait will spin in the water and you won't catch as many fish. So you want to have
it's like a live bait style hook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like a live bait
Everything
style hook.
Line.
Okay.
Straight in line.
That makes a lot of sense. So if you're using the hook with the offset eye, it's going to spin.
It's going to spin. And big Ooh. Fish did not get big by being stupid, and they see something that would naturally come out of the bottom and wiggle, spinning in a circle, that they're not going to bite that.
Oh, so, I see. I always
awesome.
Use the bait holder hook with the offset eye.
Exactly.
Wrong.
Now, that's wrong, but the bait holder hook has a cousin called a sproat hook, S-P-R-O-A-T. Those are common hooks used in freshwater for night crawlers.
Oh.
And it looks just like a bait holder, but there's no offset. It's a perfect J shape.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to use if I'm fishing a worm, like a lug worm, a blood worm, a long bait like the lip of a mussel. Anything that is a long, skinny bait is going to be fed up that hook, and that's what I'm going to use in the surf. So those are the two styles.
Straight eye,
It's called a sproat.
Okay.
S-P-R-O-A-T.
Gamakatsu make those?
Those are made by Mustad.
By Mustad. Okay. And so for those of our listeners that don't know what a bait holder hook is, explain what a bait holder hook is.
Yeah, a bait holder hook is a common saltwater hook that's normally, when it's termed the bait holder, the eye of the hook is offset slightly from the tip of the hook, so it's got a little spin in its shank. But what it is it's a long shank hook that has between 1 and 3 little barbs on the shank that helps to hold your bait up on that hook.
Okay, on the back of the shank there.
On the back of the shank.
Opposite of the bend of the hook.
Exactly,
yeah.
Opposite of the bend of the hook.
Okay. All right, and that's called a bait holder hook.
That's called a bait holder hook.
All right, great question. Look for the ones with the straight eye.
The straight J-shaped hook, a sproat hook. Now, it doesn't mean you can't use the bait holder, but the sproat is the one I'll go with for sure.
All right. Hey, I hope that answers the questions.
That was an awesome, awesome explanation. Thank
yeah.
you very much.
All right, Gabe. Welcome. Thanks for hanging in there. Appreciate the call this morning.
All right, Chris from Claremont, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Chris.
Hello, guys.
Good morning.
Going great.
Well, I wish you all a happy new year.
Same to you.
You the same, Chris.
I'm checking out his website. I have two questions, but I just wanted to say there's some fantastic fish on this website. There's no way you're catching these from the shore.
I've been doing the same thing all morning.
I can't tell the difference between a croaker and a corbina. So I don't know if you could teach us the differences, but also if you can list what the size limits are for those.
Okay. Those are some good questions.
On your
certainly.
Website.
As far as the difference between different croakers, so let's say, for example, we have a yellowfin croaker, a spotfin croaker, and a corbina. Those would be the most common croakers in the surf. One similarity that all three of them have is they all three have a little barbell, which looks like a little white
goatee.
Yeah. Little white goatee. And they use that barbell to run that in the sand to feel for the food that they eat. So when they're foraging, they run that little barbell. It's very, very sensitive through the sand. It allows them to feel crabs and clams and worms and so forth. And that's where they feed. They have many similarities because they're mostly a gray or a silver colored fish. There are some differences in the body shape. When you're looking at croakers like a yellowfin and a spotfin croaker, they have much larger shoulders and a much smaller head. And when you're looking at a corbina, it's normally a skinnier and a longer fish. With a spotfin croaker, you've got a spot right on that side pectoral, I believe that's the pectoral fin, the side fin. You've got a big spot there. With a yellowfin croaker, you have its fins all around its entire body that are very yellow in color, especially when it's spawning, really a yellowfish. And then a corbina is normally just going to be a gray fish. There's no spots on it. You will find occasionally lines on the fish, and you will also find that corbina, when you catch them in the bay, which is going to be in the springtime, sometimes in the winter and in the fall, they actually turn almost a black color.
You also need to make sure you identify the difference between a white sea bass and a corbina, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you can catch a white sea bass in the surf occasionally, and you can catch those have a size limit.
Yes.
Corbina do not, right?
Corbina do not.
Yeah.
A spotfin croaker, yellowfin croaker, they do not.
They do not. All right. And are they good to eat?
They're all very, very good to eat. Now, personally, I catch and release all of my fish in the surf because there's a lot of other great fish out there, rockfish and tuna and wahoo and all kinds of other fish we eat, too.
White sea bass,
halibut and all
yellowtail.
Those. Yellowtail. You can go on and on. But yes, they're very good eating. They have a very white meat to them. And I really do encourage folks when they first start surf fishing for the first time to bring home some of these fish that they catch, clean them, see what they look like on the inside and what they're eating, and then serve them up and see what they taste like.
Yeah. All right.
Why not? That's what we do it for, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Well, I kind of do it.
Yeah, I know,
fun.
Me too.
You
but
can go to the fishery, you can go to Point Loma Seafoods and buy
there
fish
you go.
If that's what you're. And it's a lot cheaper to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But
definitely
it's
not
all
much
about
fun.
The sport.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Mighty 1090.
For Rancho Leonero. Here's John Ireland.
You know, it's interesting because the ranch has probably a higher percentage than most of the hotels of guests that don't fish. And it's nice on the beach. You've got the beautiful reef right in front of the hotel that you can dive on. And that swimming pool is right there hanging over the water. And it's a very popular spot as well. And the kids tend to bunch up and the wives tend to get to be friends. And what's happened over the years is a lot of families met down at the ranch and got to be friends and planned their vacation so they come down at the same time. We're kind of unique for the fact that I think we're really the last of the old Baja fishing style hotels. So we're proud of that, and we're going to hang on to that image. We're going to be around for the next couple decades at least. At Rancho Leonero, we don't want to be bigger. We want to be better. We keep it simple, old Baja style. Rancho Leonero, we get a lot of guests that come back two or three times a year. RanchoLeonero.com.
It's time to talk about PowerPro, and this is your PowerPro 60-second seminar. And I'll tell you what, let's talk about knot tying and
right.
PowerPro and how easy it is and how much better knots come out when you're using PowerPro.
I agree. You know, get an opportunity to play with a lot of different structures at the shop, and that's one of the beauties of using PowerPro, especially the original PowerPro. Green, white, red, the original PowerPro line is the best tying of the Spectre line, especially on the scenarios fishing a wax wing. One of the types of things where you're tying your PowerPro directly to your lure, the knot strength and the ease of tying knots is so much better in the PowerPro.
Absolutely. And then let's look at zero impact. I've been using a lot of zero impact lately, and it's got that section, the tie zone, where it's a different color and it's a little heavier. So on 65 pound, it'll be 80 pound. At the tie zone, you get 100% knot strength with zero impact, and it works. It's really a nice PowerPro, and it's just more confidence when you're tying your knots. Power Pro at your favorite tackle store. Check out powerpro.com.
This is Jen of Team Jen Wren. We have won our share of big money tournaments, but sometimes catching the biggest or the most isn't that important. Making certain our guests enjoy their fishing vacation and creating memories of a lifetime is our goal. From the novice to the most seasoned, our Jen Wren crew is sensitive to all anglers' needs. Our deluxe twin-engine cruisers are equipped with the finest in tackle, including all accurate reels and CalStar rods. If you want the best on your next East Cape vacation, check out TeamJenWren.com and call or text us at 310-308-5841.
It's a big day in Mission Bay. Saturday, January 17th, Dana Landing will host a big bay bass seminar and sale, and Fast Lane Kayaks right next door will join the fun with all the new models of Hobie kayaks. Fast Lane is sponsoring the kayak division of the tournament, and they'll have their top pros in attendance to give you hot tips to win the big money. You can check out the new models of Hobie kayaks, including the new Pro Angler, new Mirage Drive Outbacks, and more. See the latest fishing accessories for your kayak one day only, Saturday, January 17th. At Fast Lane Kayaks at Dana Landing across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. Check FastLaneSailing.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Yeah, you just heard about the big event. Next Saturday, a week from today, we'll be live at Dana Landing in Mission Bay and Fast Lane Kayaks doing that bay bass thing. It's
can't wait.
What a deal, man. Steve has really laid out, Steve and Johnny, they're doing some amazing deals on stuff that never goes on sale, which is ideal for the bay bass tournament, or you're just a calico or bay bass guy. Go take advantage of these deals. We'll be starting the day off with Captain Benny Florentino as our guest right in front of Dana Landing there in Mission Bay. And then at 10 o'clock in Fast Lane, there'll be a great seminar. We're going to hear more about it. Steve's supposed to be giving us a call here, talking a little more detail here very quickly. But I just wanted to kind of primer that. You just heard that Fast Lane thing, and we'll give you more details later on in the show this morning. I want to mention this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Always special, but this week extra special because our good buddy Lawrence Quigley from Fishworks is on the front cover.
I love this photo.
This is such a great photo. And the cool thing about it, his son Fisher is the gaff. He works on the Dana Pride.
Right.
And
Dana Sport Fishing.
41-pound halibut for squig.
Unreal.
How about that?
And this, that his son was on the boat and gaffed the fish, and the whole thing is just, that's rad.
And that was last week.
That's a serious local trophy, man.
That's a trophy, and a great photo of one of the great guys in the fishing industry, Lawrence, and a real treasure there, a saver for Western Outdoor News.
Yeah,
one
that's a
certainly
rad
like save on this one. But one thing I want to mention about Western Outdoor News is that you write for Western Outdoor News.
That's
among
right.
other papers, right?
That's right. I'm the surf fishing editor for Western Outdoor News.
And how often are your surf fishing columns in there?
They're in there once a month.
Once a month.
Pat would like me to do it every week, but
yeah.
I told him, hey, you know, it's cutting into my fishing and all.
Yeah, no kidding. So every month you can see a surf fishing column get. And what do you write about? Hot tips or
I write about all different types of stuff. In our last issue, we had some question and answer like we're doing today, which was great, covers a lot of subjects. But normally I'll take a specific subject that's timely. So let's say winter surf fishing or spring surf fishing or summer or equipment or something like that, and we'll cover that. My upcoming article coming out in 2 weeks will be about safety at the beach. And although that's maybe not the most sexy and exciting subject of all, it's really quite interesting, and I'm going to take a little different perspective.
It's a good one to write about. The other thing, too, is your book, Fish the Surf, a great book. How many editions now?
We've sold over 20,000 copies in printed version and about 10,000 on the Kindle. So it surprises everybody but my mom, I think.
We love it.
And it's a great book. You update it every time you reprint.
That's right.
And it's available on your website, right?
Exactly. We're going to go to our third edition. That'll be coming out in February, right before the Fred Hall show. There's a bunch of new information added in there, updated. And also, there's going to be a whole complete section on almost every tackle shop in the west here and what baits they carry for surf fishing and equipment.
Wow,
so
that's cool.
You'll be able to reuse it as a reference
yeah.
and go through there. And if you live in Ventura or Thousand Oaks or San Diego, you'll be able to see who carries the things in your area.
And it'll be available at Fred Hall Long Beach Show?
Yes, it'll be available.
Are you going to have
Fred
a booth
Hall.
There?
We're going to have a booth there, and we're going to have a number of different seminars there, which is I'm really kind of excited
at Fred
about.
Hall, and you're going to be in Del Mar, too?
Yes, going to be in Del Mar also.
Fred Hall, Long Beach, and Del Mar. Hard to believe, coming up.
I know.
Oh,
like,
my God.
What, 8 weeks, six weeks? I don't know. It's like, right around the corner.
We were joking about that yesterday and kind of high-fiving, like, well, it's Fred Hall time. You know, I mean, projects were going on, ordering was happening, planning was happening at the shop. Like, it is that time
of year,
man. It's game. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, it was yesterday in the tackle store was 50% smack talk for the Bay Bass tournament, and then 50% let's get ready for
that's
pretty much what's going on in the shop right now.
That's what's happening,
exactly.
Sure.
Well, hey, the phone lines are absolutely packed solid. Everybody wants to talk to Bill, and we've got some very patient callers. We're going to start this round off with another Mike calling us from Carlsbad this morning. What's up, Mike? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Mike.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. It's a couple of questions. Bill, do you have a favorite rod and reel combo that you like to use? And I've been using a Quantum Boca 40, and I'm wondering if that's too big of a reel. Do you have any comments on that?
I do. When it comes to rods, for example, of course, you know, I love my own rods, but in general, for spinning rods, we're looking for about a 7 to 9 foot spinning rod with a light action, which means there's a lot of bend to the rod, and it's rated line rating about 4 to 12 or 4 to 16 pound test. And then there's also going to be a lure rating of around 5/8 ounce. That's what we're looking for spinning rod wise. And rod wise, you know, the sky's the limit. That rod, if you take a little bit care of it, doesn't even need that much care. I probably rinse mine off once every couple months. I shouldn't say that. But if you take care of it, it'll last you forever. Reel-wise, there's quite a few good reels on the market, but when it comes to spinning reels, you want to really kind of stay in the $50 to $100 range, because regardless of how good you are at not dropping it in the sand, ultimately the reel's going to get sand in it from the wind or the line.
And sand is an enemy to any spinning reel.
Sand is the enemy, for sure, to any reel, and certainly in surf fishing. And once it gets in, a little couple grains get in the bearings, there's no way to really fix it. So Shimano has some excellent reels on the market. I like the Sedona and Sienna. But really my favorite reel lately has been the Penn Battle 2. It's a new reel that's come out, but it's a kind of a revamped reel that's come out right around $100 on the market from Pure Fishing or from Berkeley. And what makes it different is it has sealed stainless ball bearings. So it has a much less of a chance for that sand to get in the bearings. And it's got probably the smoothest drag I've ever had on a spinning reel in the surf. But certainly Daiwa, Shimano, Penn, they all make very, very good spinning reels.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about we jump back in, talk to Harry. Harry's calling us from La Jolla this morning. Hi, Harry. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Harry.
Bill, I always enjoy listening and learning from you. I have a question, though, on rigging. In San Diego Bay, I use a Rapala, and I put a 1 ounce torpedo sinker in line about 3 feet up from the Rapala. Would that work in the surf?
Are you giving away all my secrets? Wait a minute. That works great. You know, I will use that same setup for flies, for like a Rapala or a Lucky Craft or a Seville. I will sometimes actually use a needlefish that you would use in freshwater trolling with lead line for trout will work very well. But what I do that's maybe a little bit different than you, and this is kind of the next step, is that inline torpedo sinker, you always want to stick with a chrome sinker.
Oh, 3/4 ounce? Like
a half to 3/4 ounce chrome sinker is
okay. Perfect.
And the reason
and
you
how
want
far
to,
up the line?
I would normally be about 30 inches up the line with
right. That.
So 30 to 40
so that's
inches.
Just getting you down in the zone?
That's getting you down in the zone, and then as that sinker is bumping along the bottom, the bright nature, colored nature of it, and the fact that it's creating some disturbance really attracts the halibut to it. If you talk to a lot of commercial halibut fishermen, before they're dragging their lures or their baits behind the boat to catch halibut, they'll actually drag about a 6 foot piece of chain link fence. Mm-hmm. And all of us would think with any other fishing, it's going to scare everything away. But those darn halibut, boy, that commotion.
The commotion attracts them.
Attracts
the same
them.
Thing with bounce balling for halibut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you drag a chain or you drag a heavy sinker and, you know, bounce it off the bottom mm-hmm. and it attracts them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Great question.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning, Harry.
Robert in San Bernardino, you're up next on the show. What's up, Robert? Good morning.
Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning, Jay. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great.
Very good.
Great.
Good, good. Missed Bill's seminar on the searcher back at Tackle Day. Just got there a little too late. But my question for him is, would he prefer spinning reel or conventional on the surf?
That's a nice question. I like both. I would think, for me personally, I enjoy using a spinning reel because of its simplicity, its ease of casting, and because I can cast it in tight areas. Sometimes if I'm near a dock or by a pylon or by rocks or something like that. But it's all personal preference, and most guys that fish exclusively for halibut all use conventional reels. The exception to that, of course, would be if I was fishing at night for sharks, and certainly the best time for fishing for shark, especially leopard shark, is at night, and a lot of times in the middle of the night, I will use a conventional reel. I'll always use a conventional reel, probably with about 40-pound test and about a 12-foot very stiff rod for that. So my favorite would be a spinning reel. That's probably what I use 80% of the time, but also use the conventional reel.
How long is that rod that we're giving away today?
That rod is 8.5 feet long.
8.5 feet? So it's a seriously long rod.
It is.
Do you like a long rod in the surf?
Well, two reasons. One is it gives you the ability to cast farther with a lot more ease.
Okay.
And the other thing is that when you're fishing near or upon rocks, it's long enough to actually hold it out over the water to retrieve your fish up out of the water rather than being up against the rocks.
Very good. All right. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Robert.
All right, how about we jump back into the phones, talk to Jeff. Jeff's calling us from Westminster this morning. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Bill, and Rick. How's it going today, guys?
Great, Jeff. Thank you.
So I'm familiar with fishing sand crabs in the surf, but I'm wondering if Bill can elaborate on fishing other baits in the surf, times of season that you would use them, and how do you change up your terminal tackle to fish them?
Okay. Do we have a couple hours? Where do we start? There's quite a few different baits to use in the surf. I think the very first thing to think about when you're thinking about natural baits in the surf is you want to use the baits that occur naturally in the area that you're fishing. So if there's sand crabs in the sand, if there's sidewinder crabs on the rocks, if there's mussel, that's what the fish are eating in that area. That's what they would naturally eat. And big fish got big by being smart. They didn't get big by eating something that's unusual for their area, whether it was unusual in the type of bait or whether it was unusual in the size of bait. For example, sand crabs, if all the crabs are around the size of a dime, that's most likely what the fish are eating. So if you find one that's the size of a silver dollar, although we would normally think as a human that the bigger the better, the fish don't think that way because that's not what occurs naturally in the area. So you have clams, crabs, worms, you've got ghost shrimp. There's a number of different baits that you can use. But just as far as the season, of course, once the water gets to about 60 degrees in Southern California, which it is now, sand crabs come up to the surface, and that's where you're going to find crabs. In a normal year, that would be probably the middle of April, throughout about the first week in October, and then they'll disappear. But this time of year, and this would be my tip for today, the best bait to use right now are sidewinder crabs, or what are called lined shore crabs. Those are the crabs that you see that are brown and green that run across the rocks in any marine environment you have.
Really?
So inside a harbor or rocks or so forth. And that is the bait that has set the state record for barred perch since Fred Oakley, my old boss, set it in the 70s.
Wow.
And they are very, very good baits because what happens is when you go to the beach and you fish and you find an area where there are perch biting, a lot of times you'll get the smaller perch because they're very, very aggressive. If you dive, and Carlsbad would be a good example, if you dive off of Carlsbad and you see schools of perch, you'll see about 20 perch that are maybe 8 inches long, and then you'll see 2 or 4 perch that are 14 or 15 inches long, like the mom and dad. When that group of perch, that school gets to your bait, the smallest ones will attack it first, and then they really normally won't even leave anything for the bigger ones. So when you use these sidewinder crabs, because they're a harder crab, The smaller ones don't have the ability to crush that crab, but the bigger ones do. It'll give the chance for the bigger fish to get to them.
Good call. So you have to go to the rocks and kind of collect them?
Exactly. One of the best places to collect them is go to an area where the rocks are about the size of a shoebox, any marine environment. So harbor, estuary, any of those places. And if you just turn over those rocks, and I do recommend everybody wears gloves when you do that, because there's barnacles on those rocks that are very sharp. There's some glass and so forth that can be around them too. If you turn over those rocks, undoubtedly you'll find one or two or five underneath those, and you just pick them up quickly and put them in your bait box and you're ready to go. You only need maybe about 10 or 15 of them at the most.
And how do you hook it?
Oh, good. You first.
Yeah, how do you hook it?
But very, very simple to hook. If you take a sidewinder crab and you turn it over, just as with any crab, it's got a round or a triangular-shaped egg casing on the back of it. All you're going to do is take your hook, take one of those really sharp Gamagatsu split-shot, drop-shot hooks. I usually will fish these baits with a number two, and then you're just going to press it, and so it goes all the way through the body, starting at the bottom through that egg sac, and then up through the top. You're not hiding the hook in any manner, but you want to be sure to make sure that it goes through that egg sac and presses it down, because if you don't, that egg, as it dies on the hook, that egg sac will open, and it will act as a wing, and it will spin in a circle. And as we talked about earlier, you never want to have your surf bait spinning in a circle.
Cool. And then how big a bait is ideal? You know, how big are the crab? Because I mean, you see those things sometimes as big as your hand and as small as your pinky nail.
Exactly. Well, you know, I would normally like one that's maybe around the size of a dime to a quarter is my favorite size. But Ron Schmidt, who currently holds several state fishing records and one of the top surf fishermen of all times. I think Ron is in his late 70s now. I was talking to him one day about it, and I said, what size of sidewinder crab do you use? And he said, I used the biggest one I could find, and that was when I noticed he was missing a couple fingers. So I'm going to stick around the quarter size.
Yeah. Good idea. Thanks a lot for the call.
All right. How about next up, we talk to Doug. Caught us some Montebello this morning. Doug, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, hi. When you make surf leaders, do you want to put them on a straight board or you want to put them on some kind of a roller, like a toilet paper roll holder?
I prefer to put them on a straight board. And to folks who don't really understand what that is, I'll just give a really simple example. And that's a great question about leaders, because the last thing you want to do is go down to the beach at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning and lose your hook or have to cut your hook off or need to change your leader, and you're tying knots on 4-pound test in the dark. It's very, very hard to do. So
especially when you get older.
That's right. You need thicker and thicker glasses and a flashlight and a bunch of other stuff. But what I'll do is I'll sit down and watch my favorite show a couple nights before, the night before, Survivor or a fishing show, and I'll tie maybe half a dozen of them. And what I will do is I'll take a piece of cardboard and cut it to about the size of a box of cigarettes would be about that size, so maybe 2 or 3 inches by 4 inches, and I'll cut a couple slits on one side of it, and I'll just wrap it around that piece of cardboard and then slide the either the hook or the swivel through that little slit there, and that will hold them into place. So when I lose my hook or I get a knot on my leader and I have to replace my leader, I can just easily undo it, tie it right onto my line. I have just one knot to tie there, and I'm ready to go.
All right.
How long is the leader typically when it's all said and done? And you fish a sinker above the swivel, I'm guessing?
Exactly. I'm going to set up with a Carolina rig, so it's going to be a sliding sinker, a bead, a swivel, anywhere between 8 inches and 32 inches of leader and the hook. Now, what determines the length of the leader would be how big the surf is or how strong the current is. Surf fish always feed on the bottom. They never feed near the surface like a bonita or a mackerel or smelt or white sea bass or other fish that might be up near the surface. So you're always going to be in the bottom, and the bigger the surf, the stronger the current, the shorter your leader, because you want your bait to be on the bottom at all times.
On your website, you have like a surf fishing kit, everything you need to go surf fishing.
Everything you need but rod, reel, license, and the ocean itself.
And the ocean. Yeah, that's pretty cool, the way you put with the book and the whole deal.
It really has worked out great. I think people have really enjoyed it. And it's made a lot easier for people to pick up the book and then get the kit and then be able to go down to the beach and go fishing.
And you can buy it right on fishthesurf.com.
Yes, you can buy it right there. You sure
All
can.
All right, very good. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, how about next up, we talk to Leslie calling us from Irvine this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hi, how you doing? First of all, I wanted to tell Bill that his book is great, and it has a lot of really great technical information.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome. And my question is, I was wondering if there's any, I'm from the same area as you, if there's any local fishing tournaments or anything going on in our area.
You know, there hasn't been many tournaments going on. Jenny Wiley up at Wiley's in Malibu holds tournaments all the time, perch derbies. But off and on, there really hasn't been many. I do think that we're going to put some together this spring, and I'm really hoping that Big Fish Tackle, which is down in Seal Beach there, will put some together because they have a lot of different surf baits there. It's a great surf fishing store, and if anybody's going to get them together, it will be them. So right now, I don't know of any, but really keep in touch with my site, because I think when we get to the spring, it'll be time to have some. And I really would like to put together a big surf fishing tournament, because I really think that besides the fact that there's a lot of folks who just like to surf fish and be interesting for them to do, we'd like to put together an invitational where we invite maybe 10 or 20 of the top surf fishermen on the West Coast to compete against one another.
That'd be cool.
Fun. Yeah.
And how would you do that? Weigh the fish in the surf? Or?
No, what we're going to do is we're actually going to do it by measuring the fish. And so each person who's participating will get a special measurement tool that is from us, so we know that the fish will be caught during the tournament. It'll probably run over a 2-week period of time, and then all the fish on a daily basis will be posted on Facebook and other social media, so you can follow along on a daily basis and see what guys are catching.
Okay, so take a picture of it on the scale, on the ruler, on the measurement.
Exactly, on the beach, and measure it out.
That's a good way to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, nice to hear from you, Leslie. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, how about next up we talk to Bob, calling us from Santee. What's up, Bob? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning, Bob.
Hey, Bill, have you noticed Corbina in years where they've kind of cycled, where you know, certain years you'll get bigger ones and certain years you'll get mostly smaller ones? Back in the last El Nino we had in the early 90s, we would go out to the Mission Beach jetty, and there would just be these schools of these just monster corbina. I managed to land one that ended up weighing 6 pounds, 1 ounce.
Wow.
And that was probably 92 or 93, I think it was. But in the last few years, all the corbina that I've seen when I've been down to the beach have all been around 1.5 feet long. I mean, do they cycle in due to the warm water, or what makes the bigger ones appear?
They definitely cycle in. I mean, this summer was a good example. We had many, many small corbina this year, almost like this. It was a spawning summer, you know, getting ready for future years. Now, remember, most of these corbina in the wintertime, scientists like Milton Love had believed that they had gone out into deeper water. They'd gone in 60, 70 feet of water, and they would migrate out into those areas in the winter. Although I had never heard of a party boat of anybody ever catching one in deeper water. So as the years went on, I discovered that in the winter, many corbina, I can't say all of them, but a large number of them, make their way back into estuaries where they feed, because the water's warmer back there and there's much more abundance of food, and also where they spawn back there. So whether those fish are going to come out into the open beach area in the summer, the big fish, or whether they're going to stay back in those areas and be safe, you know, that's really the question. But they will go through cycles where there's a lot of small fish because of the spawning, and then as those corbina grow, and then as time goes on, they'll get better. And in the true El Nino years, it was hard to believe that last summer wasn't, but scientifically it wasn't. Those bigger fish have been around. There have been some really, really big corbina out there.
And so you still you think they're all in the estuaries?
I know they are.
You really?
And the reason I know they are is because we did a clam relocation project for the Conservancy in Huntington Beach, who was restoring a bunch of back estuaries, a very large estuary area. And divers from the Marine Biology Department of Long Beach State came and dove in there to do a fish study before all the changes were done, which was good. So they had a base study.
Sure.
They're moving on. And when the divers, and I was with the divers, and although I was not diving, when the divers came up, they said, you know, the whole bottom of the channel in here is full of these silver fish, and we don't know what they are.
Interesting. Okay.
And then they brought one up, and we looked at it, and of course it was a corbina, and we knew there were hundreds and hundreds.
There they go.
That is cool.
There they are.
All right. Hey, cool. Bob, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's got himself, the Bill Varney surf rod from Cousins Tackle. Very cool prize. World Lucky Caller. More Let's Talk Hookup when we return on the Mighty 1090.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop.
Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com. A new veteran-owned business that makes one of your go-to pieces of tackle even better. EngravedCedarPlugs.com provides custom engraved cedar plugs of all sizes for gifts, promotional items, advertising, awards, or just your lucky custom lure. They can engrave anything. That's EngravedCedarPlugs.com. Check them out, EngravedCedarPlugs.com.
Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon? Well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this, it's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hey, Seaguar fans, the wait is over for premium quality pink fluorocarbon leader material. Seaguar Pink Label is made from the same proprietary process and exclusive Seaguar resins you trust. Seaguar Pink Label is soft and supple, yet provides superior knot and tensile strength. In fact, it has 30% better knot strength than competitive fluoro lines. A portion of the proceeds from the sale of Pink Label will be donated to the National Breast Cancer Foundation, Inc. Get Seaguar Pink Label leader material at your favorite tackle dealer. To learn more, visit Seaguar.com.
XSRF 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Aztecs.
What's that slam dunk? That's what I'm talking about.
San Diego's sports leader, the mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner of the Bill Varnay Custom Surf Fishing Rod by Cousins Tackle is going to Don in Woodland Hills. Don, congratulations. You are going to love that rod.
Indeed you are. And again, Bill Varnay, thanks. Great show. FishTheSurf.com. Also, one saltwater surf fishing editor, Fish Tackle Chronicles, surf fishing editor, contributor, Florida Sportsman. I mean, geez. You got the surf fishing rod from Cousins Tackle. Fish the Surf has a bunch of visitors and growing every day. Anything else I'm missing?
No, I think that pretty much covers everything. The only thing I just wanted to say is we're really looking forward to the Fred Hall shows coming up.
That's right. You'll have a booth there. You'll be doing seminars at both Long Beach and Del Mar.
Exactly.
And the new edition of Fish the Surf will be there.
That's right. Exactly. Our new edition, the third edition of the book, is coming out in just about a month and a half and hot off the press.
Hot off the press. All right, Bill. Thanks again.
Great job.
Thanks
great
to Cousins for that generous
info.
Donation of the rod. And thanks for all the good information. And thank you for listening today. Tomorrow, another great show. Once a year, we get them. The president of Shimano American, Mr. Dave Pfeiffer, will be here in the Mighty 1090 studios with Rick and myself. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on the Mighty 1090.